Our epistle lesson comes from the letter to the Corinthian church written by Paul, chapter 15, verses 20 to 28. And it says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Again, one of those string of gospel lessons from Matthew that don't sound much like gospel. You know, for the past 4 years, one of the most popular comedies on American television was called The Good Place. And the premise of the show is that in this life, people are graded on their personal morality. And those who die with the highest scores go to the good place. But if you don't make the grade, you go to the bad place. It's not intended to be taken seriously. It's a comedy. But the reason it works as a comedy is because most people, maybe even most Christians, agree with the premise. Good people go to heaven. bad people go to hell. That's why this passage from Matthew 25 is scary. If good people go to heaven, how good is good enough? What if you haven't fed enough hungry people, or clothed enough naked people, or welcomed enough strangers into your home? Have you been visiting enough prisoners? How do you know? How much is enough? Or what if you've never in your life visited a prisoner or welcomed a stranger? And even if you did welcome a stranger, did you welcome him warmly enough to get full credit? For almost all of us who read this passage about the sheep and the goats, and then we look at our own lives, it's pretty hard not to worry. If you're honest with yourself, you have to ask, have I done enough to be considered a sheep who goes to heaven? Well, probably not in my case. So am I a goat going to hell? What's the point of this frightening parable with the sheep and the goats? Let's take a look at this. First of all, who is this parable about? Well, who does the action? Or as theologians often put it, who does the verbs in this parable? Is it the sheep and the goats? No. It's Jesus who does all the action in this parable. The parable is about Jesus. It's not about you. And in this parable, Jesus refers to himself by three different names, all of which come from the Old Testament. In verse 31, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, a glorious heavenly figure surrounded by legions of angels, first identified in Daniel 7. Well, that sounds exciting. And then in verse 32, he refers to himself as a shepherd, a reference found many places, including Ezekiel 34, which describes Jesus the shepherd this way. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Well, that sounds comforting. And finally, in verse 34, Jesus refers to himself as a king, which is also common throughout Scripture. As king, Jesus invites his people, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Well, that's very encouraging. All of this is good news. It's fantastic news. Jesus descending from heaven with the angels in all his glory, describing himself as a shepherd, compassionate and kind, promising his people the inheritance prepared for you from the beginning of time. And then we come to the scary part. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, and it goes on. This is scary because I don't remember doing all those things. Maybe I did occasionally, but it sure doesn't seem like I did it enough. And that's why it's important that you hear what I'm going to say next. As the people of Christ, his sheep, we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're called to respond to the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the naked and the sick and the prisoner. In fact, you could say that Christ resides in those who are in need. By responding to and loving those who are in need around us, we're responding to and loving God. That's what we're to do. But this parable is not about whether you've done enough to go to heaven or not. And all these activities do not determine if you're a sheep bound for heaven or a goat bound for hell. Well, how can I say that? Well, for one thing, there's a linguistic reason. The Greek word that's been translated for, as in, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, Greek scholars point out that does not mean because you gave me something to eat, you go to heaven. And more generally, this parable is not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done for you. Christ does all the verbs in this parable. And it says, He has prepared for you a kingdom. In fact, it was prepared for you way back when, since the foundation of the world. And why do you receive this kingdom of heaven, even if you don't deserve it and haven't earned it? Because you are an heir. You inherit the kingdom. You don't earn it by being a good person. In fact, you can't earn an inheritance. It's a gift, just like faith is a gift given to you, just like baptism is a gift given to you. And you know, it's a good thing that we don't have to earn the kingdom of heaven, because Paul says in Romans 3, that no one is righteous. No, not one. And in Isaiah 64, the prophet says, even our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. If we had to earn the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, every one of us would fall short. And maybe it sounds counterintuitive, but that's great news for you and me, because we can relax. We can respond to the needs around us with joy, free to be concerned about others, because we don't have to be concerned about ourselves. Because you are a sheep in the hands of a loving shepherd. You are an heir to the kingdom of heaven, a child of the king. You are the recipient of a great gift. Jesus has taken care of you. You've been given the kingdom of heaven, something you could never earn by good deeds. So what is the point of this parable with the sheep and the goats? The point is, you sheep, be at peace. Enjoy your freedom to serve others, knowing all the while that you are taken care of. You are forgiven and loved by God and bound for heaven. You can count on it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the magnitude of what we have been given, despite our failure to earn it or deserve it. And Lord, cause this great gift that you have given to us, eternal life, cause that great gift to fill us with gratitude, and cause our gratitude to spill out into kindness and compassion toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.